Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Mira Ozarowski, and today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim Perek Pei Aleph 81. Many of us may be familiar with today's perek as it is the Shir Shel Yom of Yom Chamishi, Thursday. We will discuss later why this mizmor may have been chosen to be sung in the Beit Mikdash every Thursday morning after the Korban Tamid. Perek 81 is a powerful mizmor that talks about our two-way relationship with Hashem. In Perek 79, Ayin Tet, Asaf began to touch on this, the idea that perhaps if we want to see an end to our suffering, we might need to take action, to do introspection, tshuva, make changes to what we're doing. In yesterday's Perek, Perek 80, Pei, we began to make requests from Hashem in restoring our relationship. And now, in 81, we are ready to really focus on our side and in turn, create a reciprocal relationship. If you look at the psukim, you see that the mizmor is divided very clearly into two sections. The first section, 1-7, seems to be all praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second section, 8-17, Chetei Yedzayin, is rebuke to B'nai Yisrael and a call to do tshuva. Let's look at some of those psukim inside, and then try to understand how these two sections are connected, and also how the entire mizmor fits into the themes we've been discussing in these psukim throughout. So we'll start with part one, the call to praise Hashem's greatness with music, Psukim Aleph to Dalet. Lamnatzeach al Gitit Lasaf, for the conductor on the Gitit of Asaf. The instruction to the conductor, likely of a choir, highlights the celebratory nature of this mizmor. Harninu l'Elokim Uzenu, sing praises to the God who is our might. Hariu l'Elokei Yaakov, sound the shofar to the God of Yaakov. Here, Asaf urges the Jewish people to praise Hashem as their strength and might, and to sound the shofar. The Radak explains that the shofar serves as a reminder of the connection between B'nai Yisrael and Hashem. Pasuk Gimel 3. Su'u Zimra, raise your voice in song, utnu tof, and give forth with a tambourine, kinor na'im, a pleasant harp, im navel, with a stringed instrument. The imagery of musical instruments emphasizes the importance of joy in Avodat Hashem. The Radak writes, Klomar, b'chol minei zemer, yish lechem l'shevach l'hadot l'goel Yisrael. Together, all of the instruments form a unified song of praise to Hashem, calling the people to express gratitude through a full spectrum of musical praise. Pasuk Dalet, tiku b'chode shofar, b'kesel yom chaginu. Sound the shofar on the new moon, Rosh Chodesh, on the appointed time for the day of our festival. In addition to all the other types of instruments, Asaf calls on the people to use the shofar as a way to praise Hashem. This is referring to the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which is obviously also Rosh Chodesh. We begin with these four psukim, calling to B'nai Yisrael to praise Hashem with music. And now we come to what seems to be a tangent about Rosh Hashanah shofar blowing, but it actually forms a prototype for our relationship with Hashem in general and connects us to the second half of our mizmor, which will focus on tshuva. So here in Psukim Hei to Zayin 5-7, we go on what seems to be a segue, talking about the shofar and the call to tshuva. Pasuk Hei, verse 5, Ki chok l'Yisrael hu mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov. For the shofar blowing, is a chok for Israel on the day of judgment of the God of Yaakov. The Mitzvah David explains, Hatkiyah ahihi chok gzirat makom al Yisrael. The command to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a chok. We don't really know the deeper reasonings for blowing the shofar, but somehow we understand when we blow the shofar, it inspires us to do tshuva on the day of judgment. Pasuk Vav, Edu b'Yosef samu b'tzeito al Eretz Mitzrayim. It was established as a testimony for Yosef when he went out to rule over the land of Egypt. The Radak explains that the mitzvah of shofar serves as a reminder and testimony connected to Yosef. But what is Yosef's connection to Rosh Hashanah and the shofar? The Gemara Rosh Hashanah teaches that Yosef was freed from prison on Rosh Hashanah. This was more than just a personal redemption. It symbolized the future redemption of B'nai Israel. In fact, Chazal say that the actual slavery in Egypt ended on Rosh Hashanah as well. Yetziat Mitzrayim, we know, took place months later in Nisan, but the actual servitude ended on Rosh Hashanah at the start of the Makot, marking the beginning of their journey to freedom. Rabbi Eliezer in the Gemara adds that Rosh Hashanah is also the anniversary of the creation of the world, a day filled with the potential for transformation. As Rav Shabtai Sabato beautifully puts it, Kol Tchilat Shana Misamenet Hatchala Chadasha, Hofechet LeParshat Drachim. Every new year marks a fresh beginning, a crossroads. La'an Nita, Yemina Usmola, which path will we choose, right or left? This choice parallels the decision Yosef had to make, to remain faithful to Hashem despite the temptations of Egypt. It also reflects the journey of Bnei Yisrael leaving Egypt, who had to detach from their past in order to fully accept Ol Malchut Shamayim, Hashem's kingship. As Rav Sabato further explains, Kidei shenuchal lamlich et HaKadosh Baruch Hu alinu, in order to truly crown Hashem as our king, michovotinu lishtacher mikol shibud acher, we must free ourselves from all other forms of servitude, kolel shibud liyatsrinu, including servitude to our desires. B'tkiyat ha-shofar v'Rosh Hashanah, when we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, anu machdirim et Hashem l'malkinu, we declare Hashem as our king, u'mishtachrarim me'avdut tavatinu, and liberate ourselves from the enslavement of our temptations. This then is the connection between the two parts of the Mizmor. While we begin by calling out and singing praises to Hashem, our role does not stop there. Hashem is constantly doing great things for us, but our responsibility is not merely to cheer him on with our instruments. As we blow the shofar in praise, we must also internalize its message and reflect on our actions. Coronating Hashem as our king is not just a declaration. It demands that we live accordingly, listening to what Hashem wants and acting accordingly. As the Dot Mikra explains, HaKesher shebein shnei chalkei ha-mizmor mitpe'er v'kach, the connection between the two parts of the mizmor becomes clear. She'tchila mishomer me'orer tatzibor la'riyav l'tkoa. First, the writer, Asaf, calls upon the people to cheer and blow the shofar. V'lachar miken, u'mive'er t'lekach v'amusar. And then he explains the lesson and the moral. She'yish l'shmo mitoch kolot ha-nimra v'tkia, that there is a message to be heard within the very sounds of the song and the shofar blasts. The shofar is not just a tool for praise. It is a call to listen, to reflect, and to act. This idea is reflected in the continuation of the Mizmor, where we are placed at a crossroads and need to choose the path we are going to follow. Now we reach the second part of our Mizmor, Psukim Chet to Yedzayin 8 to 17, where we reach the crossroads, choosing between right and wrong. In this section, Hashem reminds Bnei Israel of their time in the desert, when they called out to him to provide for all their physical needs. He did so generously, but with a clear condition. If they wished for his continued provision and protection, they needed to follow his ways. He says, Shema ami va'ida bach Israel, im tishmali. Listen, my people. I'm warning you, Israel. Pay attention and follow what I'm telling you. That was verse 9. The expectations are simple in verse 10, pasuk yud. Lo yiyeh v'cha elzar, do not have foreign gods with you. For Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. In verse 11, he says, as the one who redeemed them from Egypt, Hashem assures them, Herchav picha v'amalehu, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. If they choose to listen and serve Hashem, he will continue to provide for them abundantly, just as he has in the past. Yet, there is always a choice to be made. The people can either heed Hashem's voice and follow his ways, or turn away. Tragically, we see in verse 12, V'lo shama mi l'koli, but my people did not listen to my voice. V'Yisrael lo avali, neither did Israel desire to follow me. When they choose rebellion, Hashem allows them to follow their own misguided ways. V'ashlichayim b'shirut libam, yachul b'matzotehem. So I let them follow their own stubborn hearts and go down the path they chose for themselves. However, Hashem longs for a different outcome. He says, Lu ami shma li Yisrael b'drachai yalechu. If only my people would listen to me, Israel would walk in my ways. If they were to choose the right path, Hashem promises to subdue their enemies. In verse 16, Kimat oyveihem achnia va'az sareihem ashiv yadi. And he will shower them with blessings, v'yochleihu v'chelev chita asbiyeka. Then he would feed them with the fat of wheat and satisfy them with the honey from a rock. This image of abundance and sweetness represents the blessings that await those who return to Hashem. Ultimately, the choice is ours. Will we follow the path of lo shama mi l'koli, not listening to Hashem, leading to distance and hardship? Or will we embrace lu ami shomei ali, choosing to listen, return, and receive the fullness of his blessings? The consequences of our choices are clear. Our fate depends on the path we take. The Dat Mikra notes that we find a Mila Mancha, a key word repeated over and over again throughout this mizmor, and that is the root, Shmia, listening. We have Psukim, Spat lo yadati yeshma, a language I didn't know, I heard. Shma ami va'ida bach Yisraelim tishmali, nation should listen to me. Lo shama ami lekoli v'mei nation didn't listen to me. Lu ami shomei ali, I wish that my nation would listen to me. Over and over again, we hear this root of the word shomea, listening. And the Mikra writes, "Mistaber shelushanot ile rumzim, shemizmor ne'mar be'et shmiat kolot hanigun v'ashofar." He explains that this is a hint that the mizmor was probably said in the Beit Hamikdash when they would play music and blow the shofar. V'kavanato l'lamed et ha'musar sheyesh l'shmo mitoch kolot ha'shofar. In order to teach us that there is a lesson hidden within the sounds of the shofar. And what is that lesson? They remind us that we have an obligation to listen to Hashem's words. The kolot shofar maskirim od et ha'chova lishmoa b'kol Hashem. This mizmor was recited during the shofar blowing, and we even quote from it in our Rosh Hashanah davening. However, as we mentioned earlier, it was also designated as the Shir Shel Yom for every Thursday morning. The Dat Mikra explains that this teaches us an important lesson. Ha'uvda shelo nimnu ha'kadmonim lomar t'mizmor gam b'yamim she'inam lo chodesh v'lo chag. The fact that this mizmor was recited on days that were not a holiday and not a Rosh Chodesh, as is listed inside the mizmor itself. Mishma she'ivinu, it seems that they understood she'hadvarim yafim le'yamer v'chol sha'ah, that these words are good to be said at all times. While the message of this mizmor is most powerfully expressed on Rosh Hashanah, when we actually blow the shofar, it is meant to resonate throughout the entire year. The fact that Chazal designated it to be recited every Thursday suggests that its lessons are timeless, relevant not only on special occasions, but in our daily lives. Why Thursday in particular? Perhaps because as we approach Shabbos, a day that is Me'ein Olam Haba, a taste of the world to come, there is a heightened need for reflection, tshuva, and strengthening our connection with Hashem, ensuring that we enter Shabbos spiritually prepared. But what is the core message of this mizmor that makes it so relevant year-round? It reminds us that our relationship with Hashem is not one-sided. We cannot simply expect Him to provide for us while making no effort to uphold our end of the relationship. Hashem sustains and cares for us, but we must actively listen to His voice and follow His ways. Asaf teaches us that when we face difficulties and struggle to understand why Hashem allows us to suffer, it is a call for cheshbon ha'nefesh, introspection. Instead of merely questioning why, we must turn inward, examine our actions, and seek ways to strengthen our connection with Hashem. Challenges are not just tests. They are opportunities for spiritual growth. By reaffirming our commitment to Hashem and aligning our actions with His will, we ensure that we are truly doing our part in this reciprocal relationship. Thank you for studying Le'iloi Nishmot Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sherita Pleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day, sponsored by their grandchildren Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.